Blog Talk Radio.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And I'm on Instagram now, lots of cool pictures, so follow Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in. Close to 800,000 downloads of the podcast. Could not have done that without you guys. I hope you have enjoyed the shows and shared them with friends and family. Well, this month, October, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Do you know that one in every four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime? The cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year. Also, men experience domestic violence as well. Most cases of domestic violence are never reported to the police. So today, I have an expert in the field. She's the executive director of Women Against Abuse. They are a Philadelphia-based organization helping women deal with this issue. Her name is Janine Lisitsky. I hope I pronounced it correctly.
Yes, you did.
Thank you so much, Janine, for calling in today.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you for focusing on this important issue.
So can you give us, in a short sentence, what is domestic violence?
Domestic violence is a pattern of coercive behavior, and the purpose of it is to gain power and control. It's a common occurrence, and it can be lethal.
Now, I mean, people think about domestic violence, they only think about hitting. What are some other actions that happen in relation to domestic violence?
Yes, that's a great question, because domestic violence starts in ways generally other than hitting, and that can be different types of psychological and emotional abuse, financial abuse, behaviors like trying to isolate somebody from family and from friends, different types of emotional abuse like name-calling and giving someone a schedule to follow or harassing them, stalking them, being possessive, jealous, threatening not only to hurt them, but maybe to hurt pets or hurt children. Just a whole range of tactics. And again, these are all used in order to gain power and control over somebody.
So now when somebody comes to you, your organization, at what point are they coming to you? Is it like the first time somebody hits them, or is it at the point where you know, it's been years where they've been psychologically abused? What are most of your people that call in?
It really varies, and it's probably different for different organizations, because Women Against Abuse provides a range of services, including emergency shelter, transitional housing, permanent supportive housing. We have legal services. In fact, we have the nation's first legal center for victims of domestic violence. We are lead on the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline, along with our three other sister agencies, and we do community-wide education and training. What we don't do is, like, outpatient-type counseling. So we don't have a walk-in center. Unless people are living in our residences or go to our legal center, you know, or call us on the hotline, we don't just have a walk-in center. Although Congresso does, Lutheran Settlement House does, and Women in Transition. So Women Against Abuse, we tend to see people who are in pretty dire circumstances because they're generally wanting to get in a safe house because they need to flee their home because, you know, because of domestic violence, or they need attorney representation in cases such as protection from abuse orders, custody and support cases. And so they're reaching out really in dire straits. Another program that we run is really interesting with the police is our legal center gathers over 110,000 police incident reports a year, and that's just incidents of domestic violence. And we screen through them. We pull out the highest risk victims, and we do phone outreach to them. So, again, we're reaching people who are really in dangerous situations because we're pulling out high-risk
people. Let me just interrupt you here. I want to tell them the domestic violence hotline. The Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-866-723-3014. Again, the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-866-723-3014. So in case you or you know someone who's in need, they can call that number. Also, they have a TTY number, 215-456-1529. Now, we're talking about people fleeing, and, you know, we see the movies and TV, and the moment when people start getting ready to flee is when they might get killed. What suggestions do you have if someone is listening today and they're thinking, you know what, maybe today's the day, or maybe this is the week that I need to get out of this situation? What would you tell them?
What I would tell them is please call the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline. That's a 24/7 hotline. And what they can do is begin to talk with a counselor and create a safety plan. So we'll help them think about every aspect of, you know, their lives and what needs to be put in place so that they're safe. And we'll do that with them. Not everyone has to come to a shelter, you know. Some people can create another plan for safety. And certainly the hotline, people don't have to be in dire straits to call. You know, they can be in the early stages of domestic violence, or maybe it's just a family member who wants, or a friend of someone who's experienced it, who wants to get some support and some advice. They can call the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline. So that's really the first place that we want people to connect with, and those folks are trained and can provide referrals and information and supportive counseling and safety planning.
So in terms of, you said you offer legal services, someone does get out physically wherever they are from their intimate partner violence situation. What should they do first, especially if they have children? What are some legal matters that they should be concerned about, and what can you guys help them with?
Yeah, well, you know, it'll vary from individual to individual and depends on what they want. We base everything on an empowerment model, so we never are telling people what to do. You know, we explore with them what they want, and then we move forward. But in terms of legal services, we have attorneys who can help victims get civil protection from abuse orders. So our attorneys will represent them, go through the court process, help with gathering evidence and presenting the case, and then we can get these protection orders, which are really helpful because if the perpetrator violates it, they can go to jail for that, even if they try to call the victim, you know, or email or anything. So it does create some safety for the victim. But also within a protection from abuse order, there's provisions about eviction and also about child custody. Those are only temporary type provisions, and then you have to go through custody court, you know. So we help people with that as well, to deal with child custody issues.
Now, in terms of, it's not just women. Do you help men in your organization, or do you direct them to another service in the city?
We do. We help men directly as well in our legal center through our hotline. But in terms of housing, because we have women-only housing, it's congregate, and we don't have a way to set it up for men as well. We have partnerships with our other sister agencies. For example, Lutheran Settlement House, if a man calls our hotline and is being abused and needs to flee for safety purposes, we can put them in a temporary emergency placement. And Lutheran Settlement House works with them for case management. So one of their staff will go out to the location, you know, meet with the person, create a plan for moving forward with permanent safe housing and whatever they need, legal protections.
So what does a perpetrator look like, sound like? What if I'm, you know, I'm talking to my child, you know, because I just played a, well, in the beginning of the show, a PSA about teen dating abuse. If I'm talking to a young person, how will they know maybe they should stay away from that person? Is there a sign or is there no sign? Or, you know, how would they know what to stay away from?
You know, I think the biggest gauge is about, it's really about respect. You know, and there's not a demographic because this cuts across everybody, you know, rich, poor, different ethnicities, different, even homosexual and heterosexual couples have intimate partner violence. And recently there was a piece of research that came out that suggests that it occurs equally in both types of relationships. And so I think the greatest gauge, especially for teens, is about, is this person respectful? Are they trying to control me through having to know, look at my phone for who I'm texting? Or are they texting me 100 times a day because they want to monitor my whereabouts? Are they saying, oh, don't go visit your family or your friends, I really want to see you, but really it's because of control? You know, so it's those types of patterns to look for.
Now, as a friend...
Respect, looking for respect, I realize that's difficult because there's many people who don't come from a home where respect was taught. And so maybe they don't even know what respect is.
Respect is, yeah.
And one of the things Women Against Abuse does is we go into schools, middle and high schools, and we provide 1 to 2 semester long workshops, multiple sessions about healthy relationships and teen dating violence. And we help to train the students to become mentors so that once we leave, there's still student champions who know what to do and how to intervene if they see teen dating violence.
That's a good point you mentioned earlier about everybody doesn't have a healthy, happy home environment that they might have come from. And so when you're talking to someone and say, you know, look for respect, can you show me a picture of respect? Can you play some music that means respect? Because everybody has a different version because, you know, someone could have come from an abusive home and that person was loved sometimes and other times abused. So they're like, okay, well, this is what love looks like. This is what respect looks like. And that's what they gravitate toward. And whereas another person may have had a healthier environment, and not that they're not going to ever get into a domestic violence situation, but they may be less likely, you know. Let me talk about the friend. You know, when you're a friend, it's hard to understand why somebody stays in an abusive relationship. I have a friend I can come to my head right now. And actually, because of the abuse, we're no longer friends because the guy was isolating her and controlling her behavior. And she kind of broke up with myself and another person because of the partner. What do you tell friends? What can a friend do? Because it's very difficult being a friend and repeatedly hearing the stories over and over again. What do you tell friends or family?
It really is difficult, very difficult. But I think one of the greatest messages that we can give as supporters is to say nobody deserves to be abused or treated this way with disrespect. And, you know, that you're there to be a support. You're not going to judge them. If they ever need you, they should reach out. And also just giving them resources like the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline. The more that we can plant these types of seeds, people are going to remember that when they're in a crisis. And, you know, it's a process of getting out. And that's probably the greatest question we always get is, well, why would you stay? Why would you stay? And there's so many factors. First of all, domestic violence doesn't start with a punch to the face. It's, you know, it happens insidiously. People don't know it, and they start questioning themselves, well, maybe it's me, well, maybe, you know. And little by little, you're into a situation where you're frozen by fear, and you don't, you really don't feel that you can get out. It's like a deer in a headlight. And, you know, then there's other considerations. In Philadelphia, because we have such a high level of poverty, economics is a huge issue. And then there's issues of cultural issues, such as some people's value of marriage if they're married, and, you know, having kids,
not wanting to get a divorce,
family intact, and all these reasons are really good reasons. I mean, there's the reason of love. When you love someone, you know,
you want to stay with them because you love them. And in the beginning, it wasn't like that. In the beginning, it wasn't like that. It's not like somebody met you, went on a date, and punched you. It didn't happen like that, you know what I mean? Or the first date, they went on and called you stupid. It doesn't, from my understanding and from stories I've heard, it just doesn't work like that. It starts in the beginning, you're courted, you're drawn in, you know. Sometimes it's even very dramatic, if you will, where the people are the greatest person ever, and then, boom, once they, I guess, have feel like they've latched you in, then they switch. Or a lot of times, I'm not sure, Janine, if you're familiar with when women get pregnant. They may not have abuse before, but when they get pregnant, are you familiar with that kind of story? And then the abuse starts or even escalates?
Yes. We know that when a woman is pregnant, the abuse does escalate. And, you know, again, it's in a sense, the abuser loses a certain level of control because the woman's got control over the child, you know, who's growing within them. And we even know that once with young children and children in general, that abusers use them as weapons by forcing the victim not to attend to the needs of the children. And if she tries to, she's beat up and abused. So, you know, there's so many dynamics that relate to children.
So for a child, I mean, as a, say, an educator or someone in the community, a neighbor, should they also call the domestic hotline? Where would they call it? DHS? What would you suggest to someone, I guess, in the neighborhood that might think something's going on?
That might think there's domestic violence?
Oh, abuse of the children? Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, child abuse, they should call the Department of Human Services. Anyone who suspects child abuse should call. But if they're suspecting domestic violence, if it's a situation where they hear screaming and crying, and you know, they should call the police. They should just call
911.
And do not try to intervene because it's a highly dangerous. Even the police know that coming on to a domestic violence situation is highly dangerous for them. So we don't advise people to get involved at all. But people can always call the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline, too, to talk about things that aren't as serious as they hear a crime in process. You know, if you hear a crime in process, you call the police. But if you just suspect abuse for other reasons, you can call the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline and they can help walk you through the best steps to take. Certainly, if you know your neighbor and see that person alone at times, you could give her or him the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline.
Let me just give the number again. The Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-866-723-3014. Also, check out womenagainstabuse.org. Again, womenagainstabuse.org is their website. And today, as we talked before the show started, you had a great event for men. Could you talk about what happened earlier this morning?
Yes, that was actually not Women Against Abuse's event. It's Lutheran Settlement House's event. They had a rally called Men Can, and they started with a discussion. I think it should be over by now. But they started with like a town hall discussion and then a rally where they were gathering at least 100 men to take a stand against domestic violence, and we really need men to be involved, men, women, and the whole community at large. Every city agency needs to be an active partner in working to reduce and end family violence, because we know that family violence is connected to so many other things that eat at our community, you know, that make mm-hmm. us less than healthy, less than whole, that actually cost a ton of money on the back end. Because even if you just look at the homeless system, we know that for families, people who become chronically homeless, meaning homeless again and again and again, are much more likelier to have family violence, either currently or in their history. So we need to get at it in order to solve some of the other issues that we see in our society, such as addiction, behavioral health issues. A lot of that mm-hmm. can be traced back to family violence.
Well, Janine, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and also the great work that Women Against Abuse is doing in Philadelphia. It's needed, as you said, financially, emotionally, psychologically. It's all connected, and we can all take some type of action. Now, you were mentioning, we about to wrap the show up, but you were talking about the issue of housing. Tell the audience about that project, about the housing and the beds that you just
Let me just explain what was going on in Philly. We only had 100 domestic violence shelter beds. Other cities our size had at least 250. Of course, Philadelphia is the poorest major city in the nation. And we were so short. Women Against Abuse last year had to turn away nearly 9,000 requests for safe shelter. So through years of advocacy, city council took a leadership role and released funds in order to create a second 100-bed safe haven, which Women Against Abuse is now developing. In addition to this, we've worked very hard with real estate developers to get set-aside units for permanent supportive mm-hmm. housing, so that we can just offer a lot more options for people to get out. And, you know, we've made some progress, but we need to work together as a community to address this issue, because there's no one organization that's going to solve this.
No, not at all. And as you said, you had to turn away 9,000. I mean, so you have 250 beds. That's great, but if you had to turn away 9,000, that definitely says there's a greater need.
Yes, 200 beds there will be soon.
200
beds,
okay.
We turned away 9,000 requests. That includes adults and children. So,
yeah.
But with that, we also have now co-located a domestic violence specialist at the city shelter intake site. And that's a great thing, because now, you know, we can serve the ones in our safe haven, but we can also serve people in the general city system, and we work with them on safety planning, getting services for domestic violence and towards healing, trauma-informed care and healing. So we're reaching out in the community to have a larger impact, so that 9,000 people won't have to come to our front door, you know, so that they can be worked with in the community at any point that they hit the city systems, and that's our goal.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for coming on the show. I wish you much success with your organization and helping people. Again, the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-866-723-3014. Check out womenagainstabuse.org. They're also on Facebook and they're on Twitter. Their Twitter hook is Women Against, but it's A-G-N-S-T Abuse. Women, A-G-N-S-T, Abuse on Twitter. Okay, Janine, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, and keep up your great work, Joy.
Great. You have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with the Executive Director of Women Against Abuse, a Philadelphia-based nonprofit helping women deal with the issue of domestic violence, and also helping men. They have programs for men as well, because men are affected by domestic violence, not just as a perpetrator, but as a victim as well. Check out the Philadelphia Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-866-723-3014. Again, check out womenagainstabuse.org. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And I'm on Instagram now. Lots of great pictures. Check them out. Follow at Saturdays with Joy Keys. Coming up this month, we're going to be doing a podcast on lupus, also a Twitter chat about lupus. And then also author Jasmine Ward, Men We Reap memoir, later in the month on October 19th at 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you have a great weekend.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.